Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Squatters are ruining entire neighborhoods. Now, this is happening all over America, but this particular story is focused on the Atlanta area. And we know that police response to evict is so slow. Some owners have resorted to paying nuisances to leave. The neighbors are saying, we don't even want to leave to go on vacation because we're afraid someone is just going to move into our house and we won't be able to get rid of them. Now, the company that cleans out homes for corporate landlords and in some cases remove squatters' possessions, recently one of the employees was shot after attempting to remove intruders from a property. They say that over 1,200 homes in Atlanta have been squatted in and or are being squatted in. Really incredible how people can just move in and you can't get rid of them. Evicting squatters in Atlanta is tough, involving court backlogs and strained police resources. I mean, you have to prove that they don't live there and they won't move. I wish I had the guts. I wish I had the guts to just, hey, that house is empty. I like it. I'm moving in. They busted a few guys back in October as they took over a house, and then they transformed it into an illegal strip club, complete with weekend parties. What are you going to do? If you have a strip club, you have to get people there. And they had horses, and they were racing cars in the streets. They were just completely ruining the neighborhood. This house was just a average neighborhood house, 4,000 square feet, 5-bedroom home, 3 bathrooms. And then they just turned it into a strip club with parties and car races and horse races all week long. That is outstanding. I don't wish that on any neighborhood, but it makes me laugh. Now, eventually, I guess a SWAT team came in and cleared out the house. They recovered 2 stolen cars, a stolen weapon, and stolen credit cards from the property. So I'm not sure what the deal is, why it's so difficult to get rid of them. Homeowners claim they can't do anything about trespassers. I feel like you can. But, are you going to shoot other humans? No, you're not going to do that. Remember we had the story of the U.S. Army colonel who discovered that criminals were squatting in her home. She returned to her property, and she had a nice place, a $500,000 residence. While she was away, now $500,000 residence today, a 5,000 square foot home. And she came home and she found this guy living in her house and he wouldn't leave. Now he has been convicted on gun, drug, and theft charges, but it didn't matter. So they used some obscure law that they found to finally get the police involved, and then the cops showed up and found guns and drugs in the home. But off the top, when you say, hey, somebody's squatting in my house, the cops are like, hey, our hands are tied. That's a civil matter. Sorry. You can serve them with the eviction papers, but good luck. God bless. So if you go on vacation, have a house sitter. That might be $1 million idea for you to create a house sitting business so you protect your home so no one squats in it. Or if you move or your house has to be empty for any extended period of time, I think it would be behoove you to have a house sitter so that squatters don't just move in. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. If I owned the claw machine that this happened to, I think I'd be a little pissed. So there, apparently in Australia, there was a 3-year-old boy became trapped inside a claw machine at a mall. The video of the unusual rescue happened by Queensland police. I'm sure they, are fine, back the blue. It showed the toddler sitting inside the glass-walled box filled with the plush toys. It says in the story, he's blissfully unaware of his predicament. I don't think so, but okay. So the boy's father said his son disappeared into the claw machine's prize dispenser and inside it in a split second. I had zero chance to react to it. It was unbelievable how fast he climbed up there. And so the video shows the officers and the boy's parents encouraging him into a safe corner at the back of the machine to cover his eyes while the police shatter a glass panel to free him unharmed. If I owned that plush machine, I'd be a little pissed. Now, I know it probably has insurance. You know, I don't want the kid to be stuck in there. But if he climbed in, there's got to be a way for him to climb out. Maybe we, you know, call the number on the back of the machine and say, hey, can you come over and open this thing up? You know, we don't want to destroy the machine. Nope, we're just going to crash and destroy the machine. At the end of the video, one of the officers says, and he's joking, I assume, hey, you want a prize? Which one do you want? No, you already wrecked this guy's claw machine and now you're giving away toys? No, thank you. No, thank you. You can't be doing that. So if you're a kid, now I would never have to worry about that because I would never even think that I could fit through one of those open doors like that in those claw machines. But hey, if you can squeeze through there and get in there, more power to you. But if you can squeeze in, you've got to be able to squeeze out. You can quote me on that, by the way. If you can squeeze in, you got to be able to squeeze out. I mean, that's true if you're a kid, right? But if you're an adult, you know what you can squeeze into and what you can't. You can quote me on that as well. I was reading an article in, I think this was People, from People Magazine or People.com, their website. 17 ways your job is making you fat. Well, it's your job's fault? Yes. Yes, it is. This weight gain at work is a problem, okay? They did a study. Well, this is way back in 2013. Jeez, that's another lifetime ago. Of more than 3,000 workers for Career Builder, 41% of the respondents said they'd gained weight in their current jobs. Yeah, boy, I bet you that's gone up post-pandemic. There was plenty of people that put on pandemic pounds. So hours of sitting causes weight gain. Your long commute causes weight gain. On-the-job stress, right? Yeah, that causes the body to hang on to fat and store it around the midsection. You're telling me. Late nights, right? Employees who burn the midnight oil to meet deadlines or keep up with heavy workloads. Yeah, that's right. It restricts the sleep schedule. What happens then? Excess weight gain. What about your lunch options? Right? People who work or commute through neighborhoods with a lot of drive-throughs. You know what? You're going to stop there. You can't help yourself. Yep, weight gain. Lack of wellness programs. Yeah, there's not a wellness program on every street corner, every town in America, on every website, every healthcare plan. There are gyms and wellness programs everywhere. But I digress. There's a lack of wellness programs, according to this article. Candy jars and freebie tables. Man, do I hate those. Because you can't say no. You can't have personal responsibility. And I know, I'm a fat man. I don't have personal responsibility. I'm eating something out of the bowl of candy, okay? But it's if you're on a diet or you're a binger and it's right there in your face, it's impossible to say no, isn't it? Other people, your coworkers, eating habits, right? It's their fault you're fat. Their unhealthy dietary choices rubbing off on you, right? That's exactly, it's not your fault. Constant office parties, man, I hate those. There are constant office parties, like birthdays and anniversaries, and everybody brings a cake and cookies, and you have to eat it. You have to. You cannot say no in any shape or form. These are just ways that your job is making you fat. Vending machines, right? When you're back-to-back meetings and even the cafeteria is too far away, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to grab something from a vending machine. And those packaged snack options, high in calories, low in nutrients. So pack on the pounds, baby. What else causes weight gain at work? Oh, I know. Taking the elevator. You need to take the stairs at work. When I worked in Manhattan, we were up on the 40-some floors. I don't even remember which floor we were on. Yeah, I'm not taking the stairs. So that's not happening. That is not happening. Lack of sunlight. Yes, I hate that. If you work in a windowless cubicle and you arrive at work before the sun comes up, you could be missing out on a powerful, all-natural weapon against obesity. You mean if I just stand in the sun, I'm going to be skinny? That's kind of cool. Business trips. All the whining and dining on business trips can add up. Dinners on the company tab. Yeah, who doesn't have that? Lavish meals with clients or associates. Right. The lure of regional cuisine are likely to trigger overeating. Aren't they, though? I mean, everyone has their company credit card when they're on a business trip. Overnight shifts. Oh, man. Night shift workers. They're at even higher risk of obesity than daytime desk jockeys. According to a study out of Colorado, researchers found that participants burned fewer calories over a three-day period when they slept during the day. So don't sleep during the day. Distracted eating at your desk every day works against your waistline. I'm guessing you shouldn't be eating while you're watching television or looking at your phone. Yes, your digital devices. Absolutely, especially job-related digital devices. Trigger obesity. Oh, man. Happy hours and network events. Yep, those too. Those after-work drinks are an expected part of the job. It's part of your bond with your coworkers, but you can't say no to those drinks, and you pack on the pounds. Those are things that make you gain weight at work. So if you know that those are the things that are packing on the pounds, you're able to do something about it, right? Right. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Speaking of putting on the pounds at work, it's National Pizza Day. So I'm celebrating National Pizza Day. How about you? Every office in America will have pizza and you will not be able to turn it down. Am I right? Of course I am. Now, if you're thirsty, you won't be able to drink it now, but it comes out, I believe, the 19th of this month. Yes, it's hitting the shelves on the 19th of February, 2024. If you're listening live, today is the 9th. Of February 2024. So you are going to be able to drink the new Coca-Cola's boldest tasting brand innovation yet. It is Coca-Cola Spiced, the first permanent addition to the Coke lineup in 3 years. It's laced with flavors of raspberry and spice, according to Coke, and comes in both regular and zero sugar variations. Yay! It's blending the iconic taste of Coca-Cola with a burst of refreshing notes from raspberry and spiced flavors. Now, they did this on the fast track. I know that they talk about, oh, it's got the raspberry and aromatic blend of spices as per Coke, and we just love it. Well, okay. Now, the Coca-Cola company has not revealed what spices have been included in the drink, which makes it even harder to tell. According to Coca-Cola, the innovation that they use at Coke is critical to the brand's strategy, and they're constantly looking at industry trends and exploring new ways to offer customers more choice. Vice President of Marketing, Su Lin Cha, said in an email that we are always innovating with new flavors to offer new experiences for our fans. Well, isn't that nice? Now, Coca-Cola's North American Marketing Chief, Shakir Moin, said in New York that the flavor was developed in just 7 weeks compared to 12 months plus that it usually takes to develop a new product, adding that the company is disrupting the way they are working internally to better meet customer demand. So there you have it. I'm excited for the new Coca-Cola Spiced. And we'll see if it is actually worth anything. I will try the Coca-Cola Spiced Zero Sugar, but I don't know that I'm a huge fan of that. And I mean, they put in this to other flavors that have been permanently added to the lineup over the years is Diet Coke, Coke Zero Sugar. Previously, Coke Zero. Yeah, they changed the ingredients for that. Cherry Vanilla and Cherry Vanilla. And let's not forget about New Coke. Oh, that was way back in when, 1985 or something. we don't even count that because we put that on the market and then we discontinued it. So shh, don't even talk about that. Now, they are also dropping a limited edition flavor on Random Acts of Kindness Day. I am a huge fan of Random Acts of Kindness Day. I know what you're thinking. Hey, what? What day is Random Acts of Kindness Day? It's the 17th of this month. Hello. Duh. February 17th is Random Acts of Kindness Day. So the new flavor packaged in a hype kit. Okay, so it's Coca-Cola Happy Tears Zero Sugar. Wow. The new flavor packaged in their hype kit containing two Coke Happy Tears Zero Sugar cans, a packet of tissue papers, Happy Tears stickers and apparel will only be available to purchase on TikTok while supplies last. This is the first time that Coke is launching a product directly on the social platform. The cans and packaging of the hype kit have been embossed with an iridescent drop of joy. The new flavor, developed under Coca-Cola Creations, draws inspiration from the simplicity of Happy Tears, a small, clear droplet filled with optimism and joy that's created from the smallest acts of kindness. Okay. All right. I'm sure. Good luck getting one of those. It'd be cool to have, but you're going to have to be on TikTok, and that limited edition means there's going to be, they probably made what? Coca-Cola should say, you know, we've got 10,000 of them or something, but it's probably only 1,000. Doesn't say how many they made. It's just a limited edition. I see where Disney announced a new $1.5 billion stake in Fortnite maker Epic Games. It's the company's largest ever investment in gaming, and it plans to work with Fortnite on new games and an entertainment universe featuring characters from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and Avatar. Plus, they're going to get a big bump because what's-her-face, Taylor Swift, or her Eras film is going to stream on Disney+. Great. And I heard that they're going to do a new Moana, too, with The Rock for theaters. So, yay! You know, it seems like there's shortages on almost everything in today's world. I mean, we've got food shortages, and now we find out that there are drug shortages. Drug shortages hit a record high this past December, caused severe disruptions in medical treatments. There have been delays, treatment cancellations, even rationing of vital medications. Even drugs as important as the antibiotic amoxicillin are in short supply right now, along with, 294 others. Doctors are even saying that they've been forced to make impossible choices, like choosing which patients will be prioritized to receive potentially curative therapy. That's just a couple of reasons, more than a couple. Why you need the Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains 5 essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And Jace Case is continually working to expand their medication offerings. They've even added ivermectin as an option in the Jace Case. And also now you could buy a gift card for your family or loved ones so that they can get the Jace Case of their own and personalize it to their needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. So get yours today. Go to jacemedical.com. You can enter the promo code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at the checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y. JaseMedical.com. J-A-S-E Medical.com. I see where Byron Allen, man, every time I turn around, he's in the news. Byron Allen, you know him, you love him. He's the head of, Allen Media Group. They're seeking to buy Paramount Global for $14.3 $1 billion. Wow. Okay, good luck. We'll see. Because he's been suing McDonald's for not fulfilling a pledge to increase ad spend with black-owned media. Well, a judge in Los Angeles threw that case out. The judge in Los Angeles said, yeah, no. McDonald's is likely going to win the case if it's allowed to proceed. Oh, okay. Well, why? Well, the judge said, eh, they still have time to live up to its vow. Oh, okay. So the lawsuit claimed that the fast food giant lied when it pledged to increase national ad spending with black-owned outlets to boost sales and avoid high-profile legal action over alleged racial discrimination near the height of the Black Lives Matter movement. Yeah, because, man, they didn't want black people coming in and buying McDonald's hamburgers. They hate that because the bank says, hey, did this money come from a black person or a white person? Because we don't want it if it came from a black person, said no one ever. According to the media group or Byron Allen, they claim that the company, their Allen Media Group, submitted a proposal for $30 million in ad spend to McDonald's, which McDonald's rejected and agreed to spend only a fraction of that amount. And he attested that McDonald's needs to spend roughly $25 million with black-owned media by this year to reach his goal. What he really means is that they need to spend $25 million with his company. Because his company is a black-owned media company, and you need to spend that $25 million, at least $25 million, with me. Not those other black-owned businesses. They don't count. Right, Byron? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Good luck. So not only do we have the big game this weekend, we have the Chinese New Year beginning on Saturday, tomorrow, the 10th of February, 2024. And it is the Year of the Dragon. Yay! So this year, the Year of the Dragon, celebrated by millions worldwide on the night of the second new moon after the winter solstice. So have fun and enjoy ringing in the Year of the Dragon. Maybe if you hit the lotto, you would be able to buy a dragon, because we have the Mega Millions drawing tonight for $394 million, $188.5 million cash payout. Although the Powerball is being drawn on the New Year celebration date, the 10th of February on Saturday, so you might have better luck with that. That's $248 million, $122.5 million cash payout. So good luck. I hope you win so you can buy a dragon, because I know I'm buying a dragon, even if it's a stuffed one, if I win one of those. So when I say good luck to you, you know, I mean it half-heartedly. So as I said, we also have the big game this weekend, which I'm really looking forward to. There's no question about it. It's going to be a great game. The 49ers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Las Vegas. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's the end of the NFL and college football season. My heart is in my stomach. I miss watching football very much. And we'll have the you know, we have the UFL starting soon, but that's, I don't think that can make up for college football and then NFL. But we also have on Sunday, the day of the big game, we also have another big game, the Puppy Bowl 2024. And that will have people rooting for either Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy. Puppy Bowl 20. Isn't it Puppy Bowl XX? I think so. I mean, I know we've got, you know, Super Bowl LVIII. So this should be Puppy Bowl XX. It's the 20th annual event, and man, it's good. I guess they're also inducting four former participants into the all-new Puppy Bowl Hall of Fame. Huh? How about that? That's exciting, right? So the Puppy Bowl is going to air on Animal Planet, Discovery, Discovery Plus, Max, TBS, and True TV. The Puppy Bowl XX is filmed in Glen Falls, New York, at the Cool Insuring Arena. That's where it was last year. I feel like that's where it's going to be this year as well. I was looking for exactly where it was going to be, and they say it was filmed at Cool Insuring Arena last year. So I feel like that's where it's going to be played this year. They don't move it around like the NFL does. Huh. Weird. The pregame show is slated to begin at 1 p.m. Sunday, and it's followed by the Puppy Bowl XX, which is listed for 3 hours. I don't know that I can take 3 hours of a Puppy Bowl, but I may actually tune in to, you know, some of Puppy Bowl XX. I don't know if I'll be rooting for Team Fluff or Team Ruff. There's 131 dogs participating from 73 shelters nationwide. Six participating dogs have special needs, including a pug terrier Riddle, who has a neurological condition, cerebellar hypoplasia. Okay. Pavilion named Mr. Bean, who only has two hind legs. Okay. So this isn't, this is a Puppy Bowl. It's a Handicap Bowl. It's a special needs Puppy Bowl. Okay. Well, I know they have one. The one is Patrick Mabones, and the other is Bark Purdy. But the other dogs are all named different names, and they talk about what shelters they're from, and I guess what handicaps they have. So okay. The coveted Lombarki trophy was hoisted by Team Fluff in 2023, pulling out an 87-83 victory. I did not watch a second of the Puppy Bowl 2023. I am very, very disappointed. So good luck to both teams, and I hope one of them wins the Lombarki. As long as we're talking about animals, I see where a French bulldog puppy, I don't know why he's not part of the Puppy Bowl, has miraculously regrown his jaw after veterinarians removed it during cancer surgery. This is the first time this has ever occurred in a dog, according to a report from the College of Veterinary Medicine at Cornell University. I mean, I love the College of Veterinary Medicine at Cornell University. Tyson, the bulldog, who is only 3 months old, had a cancerous tumor in his jaw that needed to be removed. But that also meant that most of the puppy's jaw had to be removed with it. And I guess animals are able to function without a large part of their jaw, but this is still major surgery, and we could not just let the puppy, I don't know, go away. No, we can't do that. No, that's, yeah, just silly. That's just wrong. Okay. So the veterinarians at the Dentistry and Oral Surgery Service at the Cornell University Hospital for Animals, love them, determined, you know what, it's going to be worth it. The cancer did not appear to have spread, so surgery went ahead. And veterinarians and Tyson's owners were stunned when the jaw started regrowing. That's the best news, is that there appears to be no trace of cancer in the new bone. According to the docs, we had no idea that the jaw would grow back. There have been cases where small parts of the jawbone have regrown in young dogs, but Tyson had a sizable chunk removed, making this case exceptionally rare. So it has happened. They claim that it didn't happen, but it has happened, just not on this large of a scale, but it has happened. So the veterinarians are still flummoxed by what happened, but they have theories. Yeah, I got a couple of theories too. The study on the phenomenon published in Frontiers in Veterinary Science and I haven't got my new copy yet, suggests that this regrowth was possible because a large amount of membrane, which contains blood vessels and nerves that support bone growth, were preserved in the surgery. This was likely imperative to the regeneration of the new bone.
So
the doc who was, you know, in charge of Tyson's care said more has to be done to understand the likelihood of this occurring in other dogs and if a specific age range makes a difference, but this case documents a very positive surgical outcome in a life-threatening situation. Yeah, and this also helps in getting more funding for the veterinarians at the Dentistry and Oral Surgery Service at Cornell University Hospital for Animals. But good for Tyson, and I'm glad Tyson is doing well. I am. Don't look at me like that. Okay, a little more on some sports. We have the Super Bowl this weekend. I mentioned that Americans are estimated to wager $23.1 billion on this year's Super Bowl. There was no report on how much is going to be wagered on the Puppy Bowl this year, Puppy Bowl XX, but I'm sure you could make a wager if you'd like to. There are all kind of prop bets you could make, too, on, you know, what color Gatorade gets poured on the coach. You know, I'm sure that you can, you know, what kind of shoes Usher's going to wear. Is Taylor going to wear her special jacket? Who knows? You can make all kinds of bets on that kind of stuff. I see also that the Philadelphia Eagles have now been tapped to play the NFL's first ever game in Brazil. Now, we don't know who they're going to play. The story is the to-be-announced opponent in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on Friday, September 6th. That's the day after the NFL season kicks off on Thursday night. So we'll have the Thursday night game kicked off, and then they're going to have the Friday night game in Sao Paulo on September 6th. So they will play in Brazil. Good for them. Good for them. They're supposed to play, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Commanders, the Browns, the Falcons, the Panthers. So, the Jaguars, the Packers, and the Steelers. But they want to move to Brazil. So they say the league, the NFL, say they have 38 million fans in Brazil with an increased interest in recent years. Yeah, well, I mean, they're broadcasting a separate broadcast in Spanish to South America and to cruise ships. I mean, the Super Bowl is just, and that's the Super Bowl. So, I mean, we have games in England and Germany and Spain. So I don't know if they've had one in Spain yet. I think they passed the resolution that the owners passed that there will be games in Spain. So, international NFL is coming very, very soon. More sports news, just a quick update. Nick Saban is supposed to join College Game Day, ESPN's College Game Day. He retired as being the head coach of the University of Alabama. He will work as an analyst on set of College Game Day, built by the Home Depot, and regular season and postseason additions. So that means that he's going to be there with Reese Davis, who is the host. You have Lee Corso, who Lee, I love you, but you should please retire. Okay, I know you don't want to retire, and Kirk Herbstreit, who is part of Game Day, doesn't want you to retire. I got it, but it's time. All right, maybe this is a way for them to push Corso out. Look, there's too many people here, Lee. Come back, say you're going to retire, and kick. I thought for sure he was going to retire this year and make a big deal out of it, but nope. And so they still have him listed as part of the team. Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, and Pat McAfee. Now, they use the Football Insider Pete Thamel as a reporter. Then they have Jen Latta and Jess Sims doing reports. And then they have the Stanford Steve for the college football betting analyst. Pete Thamel is great. Stanford Steve does a great job. I'm not sure that I mean, Jen and Jess do fine, in-depth kind of, you know, interviews with coaches and players that are kind of cute. They had a great deal with McAfee and the field goal kicks at their events this year. That was fun. But Lee's got to go. I love him. I respect him. He's been an institution at College Game Day. But Lee, retire, please. You see where Wilson is making airless basketballs? Airless basketballs. Now, they're going to go on sale the 16th of this month. They're 3D printed airless basketballs. There are fewer than 200 being made. The Wilson Airless Gen 1 basketballs. Only fewer than 200 are going to exist in the world, or at least that's what they claim. Now, it doesn't need to be inflated because it's already full of holes. It's going to cost $2,500. $2,500. It's going to be available on Wilson's website February 16th. So good luck. Good luck getting on and getting yourself one of those if you feel that you need a 3D printed airless Gen 1 basketball from Wilson. It would be kind of cool to have, no question. They claim that Wilson worked on the airless prototype for years before showing it off at the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend. The 3D printed prototype featured a lattice pattern of 100 hexagonal holes. There was no inflated bladder inside to help the ball bounce. Instead, its shape and materials allowed it to bounce like any other ball, minus the air. Kind of cool. We're still using the same printer. We're still using the same type of smoothing and dyeing. To scale it up, Wilson brought some of the ball's production into a third-party external facility, Airless Gen 1. It seems pretty cool. And it'd be cool if you could get one, I don't know, for cheaper than $2,500. You know, I found this fascinating. You know how you think moths are attracted to the lights, right? Well, according to this new study, published in the journal Nature Communications, I love that, scientists have now found out that the moths are not actually drawn to the flame. You know, the moths to the flame, as the old saying, they're not. They're trapped in a disoriented orbit around the artificial light. So they use these motion capture cameras and filming with infrared illumination so as not to disrupt the creature's vision. Yeah, we didn't want to do this. We wanted to have it. Didn't want to have them react at all. The researchers showed that when the insects flew around a light source, they were tilting their backs toward the light and keeping their bodies in that direction. So they were trying to get away from the light. Maintaining this orientation, and so the critters then created odd orbits and steering patterns, according to the study. So when the artificial light doesn't interfere, nocturnal insects keep their backs pointed toward whatever direction is the brightest, which is typically the sky versus the ground. So when insects pass by an artificial light, they become disoriented, believing that the human-made lighting is the sky. So the author of the study, the entomologist and postdoctoral researcher at Imperial College London's Department of Bioengineering, love him, insects in the air don't inherently know which way is up. They don't have a very good way of measuring that. It's assuming the light is the direction up, but it's wrong. And if you tilt, that's going to create sort of a weird steering pattern. In the same way that if you are riding a bike and you tilt over to one side, you're going to get to steer in a big circle. It's all going to go a bit funky. So they're not attracted to the lights. They just are turn their back to the light and then they fly into the light. Okay, the study team compiled hundreds of slow motion videos capturing the behaviors of butterflies, moths, bees, wasps, dragonflies, and damselflies. and found that the critters were not attracted to faraway lights. The insects only appeared to be drawn in when passing a light that was nearby. Okay, so the insects only appeared to be drawn in when passing a light that was nearby. So they were drawn consistently. The overwhelming majority of the study subjects tilted their backs toward the light, even if doing so prevented sustained flight. So maybe when people notice it, like around their porch lights or street lamp, it looks like they are flying straight at it. That's not the case. According to Yashi Sande, a postdoctoral researcher at the Florida Museum of Natural History, she contributed to the research while a doctoral student of biology at a Florida International University in Miami. The team observed three common responses to the light source made by insects, including orbiting the light, stalling, which caused the insect to steeply climb above the light, and inverting, in which the insects flipped over and crashed into the ground. Does that make them... No, it doesn't make them that. I don't know why you're... It doesn't make them that. It makes them insects, and it's because of the damn humans and their fake lights. Okay, that's what we need to do. That's the same thing with the turtles. Shut the lights off because they're dumb and they think it's the moon and not the light. So they go toward the light instead of the moon. They're dumb. That's the deal. We spent all this money with all this research just to find out that insects, and along with turtles, are dumb and they can't handle artificial light sources. So you damn humans better turn off your lights or the insects will be gone. And what a shame that would be. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I'm ready to have a nice weekend. You can follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X. Jeff Fisher Radio is Facebook and Instagram. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. And you can also email the show whenever you'd like, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. Oh, yeah, you can order a cameo, too, at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. Just make the order, let them know what you want. Happy, glad, sad, mad, or mean, and I'll do it. It's not free. They charge. Everybody gets a cut, and you get a happy video. That's the way Cameo works. I'll leave you with this joke, and I can't remember if I've left you with this joke before. So if I have, just laugh again, because it's made me laugh multiple times. And if I haven't, well, here you go. It's the joke of the day, all right? I didn't write it. I just loved it. It was funny, okay? Condoms do not, as I'm reading it out loud, I feel like I've told it to you before, so I'm apologizing ahead of time because as I say it out loud, it reminds me in my head that I have said it out loud to you before. So again, I apologize if I have, all right? Condoms do not guarantee safe sex. Huh. A friend of mine was wearing one, and he got shot by the woman's husband. For those of you listening live, have a nice weekend.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.